Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Taitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shri Vasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 2, text 16. Nasato vijite bhavo, nabhavo vijite sita, upayo api dristantas tvanayos tatvadarshibi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. If you look on in the text, the Sanskrit on the third line, there's the word ubayo, of the two. And this, if you remember, when Krishna was saying, please drive the chariots in between the two armies, they were also use this word. Krishna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies. Senayo ubayo madhye. Between the two. So the seers of the truth, who are these seers of the truth? Tattva darshibi. If you want to have a look at 434, let me see, I'm saying the right one. 434. These are the seers of the truth. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina. Tatvadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So the person who, the seers of the truth are the spiritual teachers, spiritual masters. The next point is in the word for word, there's sat and asat. Sat is eternal, and asat means not eternal, temporary. So, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. The body is temporary, and the soul is eternal. So, Prabhupada's translated it as non-existent. So, the body is, it's here now, but because it's not permanent, they're calling it non-existent. Only here for a few years and then gone. But the soul is always existent, so it's called sat, eternal. In the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada's saying that body is changing every moment. Remember from a couple of verses ago, 2.13? 2.13 describes the changing of the body. That the body keeps changing. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapti tiras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So we can see throughout our life, our body's constantly changing. And if they look under a microscope, they can also see it's constantly changing. The cells are constantly growing, splitting, dying. Krishna has just started his teachings. So the first thing he tells Arjuna is in 2:12 is that we're all eternal. He said, "Me, you, these kings, everyone is eternal," referring to the soul. When we're eternal, we're not going to die. We're going to change body, but we're not going to die. So for someone who's afraid of dying, that's good news. But that we have to keep changing bodies, that's not such good news. So first thing Krishna's teaching is we're eternal. Second thing is his teaching, the body keeps changing. It's changing from baby to boy to man to old man and then to some new form. And then now he's explaining, he was explaining happiness and distress, that it keeps changing like winter and summer seasons. And then from now until text 38, he's going to say the different qualities of the soul. He's going to explain in detail about the soul, which is information that I haven't found in any other books, apart from Prabhupada's books, spiritual books. I don't remember reading anything like that in the Bible. Did you read the Bible? I don't remember reading things like that in the Bible. That you can't, the different qualities of the soul and things. But all this detailed knowledge of the soul, Krishna is going to tell now to Arjuna. So then a little bit further in the purport, it was saying that in the Vishnu Purana, it says that the Vishnu and his abodes are self-illuminating. So that's also mentioned in 15.6, chapter 15, text 6. Na tad basaite suryo na shashanko na pavaka yat gatva na nivartante tad dharma paramam mama. Krishna says, that supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity, because it's already shiny. It doesn't need, you don't need an extra sun. Those who reach it never return to this material world. So that's where we want to go. Because once you get to Krishna's abode, then you don't have to keep changing your bodies. Then you get a spiritual body that doesn't get sick. You don't have to go to the dentist. You don't have to keep going to the doctors. You don't get old. In Belgium, when people get old, they have to start dyeing their hair if they want to keep it the same color. Go and get some dentists, get some plastic teeth like some of our older devotees. If you get a spiritual body, you can always stay happy, stay young, stay in the spiritual world. Then further on in the purport, it says, in the Vedanta Sutras, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme has been accepted as the origin of all emanations. So that's mentioned later in chapter 10. It's one of the Bhakti Shastri verses, 10.8. Do you know it, Ki? Iti? Am savasha prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna speaking. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Here's Krishna saying that he's God. He says All the spiritual worlds, all the materials, everything is coming from me. And then there was, I find some of the language in this purport a little bit technical, a bit difficult to understand. Such emanations are experienced by superior and inferior natural sequences. The living entities belong to the superior nature. So this is explained in chapter 7, text 4 and 5. So the inferior nature is the material energy. Bhumirapanalovayu kamano buddhirevacha ahankara itiya mebina prakritirastada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together, these eight constitute my separated material energies. So that's the inferior energy of Krishna. And then the superior energy is the next verse. Aparayamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva buddha mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. This is the superior energy, the souls. Besides these, O mighty Omnarjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So the superior energy is the soul, the souls, the jivas. And then it's Prabhupada talks about the energy and the energetic. So the energetic is the source of the energy. That's Krishna. He's the source of energy. And we're energy. So you've got three kinds of energy. Spiritual, material, and then marginal in between. And our relationship with the Supreme is that we're parts and parcels of Krishna. And the analogy that I thought of was if you have a fire, so Krishna's the fire, and then you have little sparks, and we're like little sparks. So we belong in the fire. But supposing one of these little sparks, sometimes when the wood's burning, one of the sparks jumps out of the fire, then he loses his fiery qualities. He kind of extinguishes. Yeah, with the sparks. So if a spark jumps out, the fire is still the fire. What? No, analogy, the analogy. Krishna's a person with a personality.
Now this ends the source of confusion last time.
He thought that Krishna was a fire? Really? Light, yeah. Well, it is like if you go out of the if you're in the cinema in the afternoon and it's very dark and you go out into the street, it's so bright, it's like you can't see anything, all you can see is a light. So if you look at Krishna and you all you see is the light, it's just because your eyes haven't adjusted. If you put on some sunglasses, you can see behind all this light there's a nice form. Hiranmayena Patrena. In Ishupanishad, verse 15, the person who is praying is saying, please take away this glaring effulgence so that I can see your face. He is very shiny, very bright. The light of the sun and the moon is just a reflection of Krishna's brightness. The brightness is coming from Krishna. So Krishna was, Prabhupada is talking about the worshipper and the worshipable. So we're the worshippers, but who are we worshipping? Film stars, rock stars, the dog, We're remembering his appearance day, giving him some presents. I was going past one hotel, one Hilton hotel in Rotterdam, and there were some young ladies outside the hotel screaming at their worshipable deity, screaming his name, completely adoring. They put his picture on the wall and listened to his vibrations in the evenings. But the person who is worth worshipping is Krishna and his representative. So why bother worshipping Krishna? What's in it for me? What's the use of worshipping God? I have everything already. Life is tough. So yes, yeah, so Madhu Gopal's quoting from 9:33. Life's a tragedy and it ends in death. So Madhu Gopal's quoting from 9:33. Kim puna brahmana punya bhakta raja sayatata anicham asukam lokam imam prapya bhavashvam. Having come to this temporary, miserable world, engage in devotional service unto me. Of course, if you want to stay here, you can stay in the material world as long as you like. Just keep getting born again and again. As long as you don't mind dying every few years. But if you want to get out of the material world, the way to do it is described in the next verse, 9:34. Man mana bhava mat bhakto macha chimam namaskuru mame vasyasi yuktvaivam atmanam mat parayana. There's four things you've got to do. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Thus, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Four things, easy. Pay obeisances, worship Krishna. Always think of me, always think of Krishna, become my devotee. Takes little practice to always think of Krishna. So there was just one thing that I didn't understand in the purport, and I was hoping that someone else from the group can illuminate me on it. I didn't have time to ask Maharaj. It was halfway through the purport, Prabhupada saying, one can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself. Anyone read Burjan's comment on this? But we don't know that the soul is eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss, what Krishna is telling us.
Compared to
I was going to ask Maharaj about that one. So Madhagopal saying is like, if you can understand, if you want to know the qualities of an ocean, you just take one drop of water and you analyze it and you find out that it's salty, then you can conclude that the whole ocean is going to be salty. So Krishna is saying in this verse that there's a difference between the body and the soul. So the body is, so the soul is Satchitananda, Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the body is the opposite, not sat, not chit, and not ananda. It's temporary, it's full of ignorance, and it's completely miserable. So you could say, how do you mean completely miserable? I'm happy most of the time. But this happiness that we feel sometimes is misleading, because it's actually, if someone's happy, then this is what's keeping them in the material world, in the cycle of birth and death. So if you, supposing there's a someone saying, oh, I'm so happy, I don't need to leave, it's okay here, I like it in the city, so many nice things to do. But then what's going to happen at the end of life? You'll get sick and you'll die and come back and go through everything all over again. I had my great-grandmother, she lived quite long, and she said, she's not nice. Even though she had a long life, she said, all my friends have died. She just, if you get old, every other week you go to a funeral, you know, great life. I knew someone, he knew a lot of people. Every other week he went to a funeral. You can just, all your friends go, all, even your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, they've all gone. If you live long, that's all you do when you're old. Go to the doctor and go to the funerals. And it's not even for sure that you'll get another human body. You could come back in something else. Animal. Everyone who's born?
Anyone who's born in this world, in this planet, will
have to die. Have to die, yeah?
This is the truth.
Yeah? Look at 227. Jatasha hi dhruva mrityo dhruvam janma mritas chicha tasmadapari hariyete natvam sochitamarhashi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. But it doesn't mean you necessarily get a human birth. You could get something higher, but you could get something lower. It's possible to become, after a human, an animal again. Krishna says so? He says it like this, 8.6. Krishna says it like this. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tam tam avaitikam teya satata bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. The consciousness that someone has when they die, that's, they get a body to match. If someone lives like a dog, he gets a body to match. So if you have an elevated consciousness, you get an elevated form. But if you live like a dog, you get a tail to wag. It's 8:15. Are there any questions? So we'll stop here and have some bhajan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.